The number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. has fallen in the past month, and the number of people getting vaccinated every day is going up. So that's good news. But at this rate, the country is still on pace for another 80,000 COVID-19 deaths every month, which is why The Atlantic's Derek Thompson says it's crucial to take some potentially controversial steps to save lives and get the pandemic under control by the summer. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Sure. So people may be thinking, actually, that things are already getting under control because the number of infections has dropped 60% in the past month, and that's pretty good. But what is going on?
It's really good. And it's not entirely clear that we have like 100% understanding of what's going on. But let me give you three possible variables that might explain the really, really sharp drop, not only in cases, but also more importantly, in hospitalizations. Number one is weather. Seasonality. I was just looking at an October 2020 report on coronaviruses around the world that found that they typically peak in the Northern Hemisphere during the winter, with the most common peak being in January and February. So it might just be in the nature of this type of virus to accelerate through the winter and peak around the turn of the year. Number two, there's immunity. Tens of millions of Americans have already had COVID, and it's possible that so many Americans have already been infected that we have a bank of immunity such that the decline from that peak has really been accelerated by the fact that there's just a lot of people who are protected against this disease by virtue of the fact that they've already been infected. Number three, there's behavior. I really do think that in the last few months, especially after the holidays, Americans have gotten more comfortable with wearing masks. And there is a little bit of evidence to suggest that their behavior, their mobility, has become more risk averse in the last few weeks. And that might also be accelerating the decline in cases and this decline in hospitalizations.
Interesting. Now, Derek, I was wondering if it had anything to do with the fact that we are getting more people vaccinated than ever before. Now, 1.6 million people a day on average are getting shots.
This is probably a part of it, for sure. But two points on that. Number one, we saw this decline in cases and this really sharp decline in hospitalizations start before the acceleration in vaccinations. So vaccines can't explain the entire drop. But it's absolutely the case that, look, almost 10%, about 10% of Americans have received at least one shot of vaccine, according to numbers that I just looked at. You add that, say, 10% of Americans with one shot of vaccine to maybe 20, 30% of Americans who have already had COVID and now have immunity, you add that up and you're at maybe 35, 40% of the country that has some level of immunity to this disease. Mm. And that may be a part of the picture that we're seeing, that it's not just seasonality, which is a natural component of this virus, but it's being accentuated by the fact that there is just a bank of immunity in this country.
Okay, so all of that is great, but I want to be very clear. We are not out of this yet. Some states are starting to lift restrictions, and that has public health officials very concerned. You write in your recent Atlantic article, you actually lay out a few ideas that could help us get a handle on this pandemic even quicker. Number one, you say, authorize more vaccines. Tell me more about that.
Sure. I think right now we have a supply issue. There are way more people who want vaccines than there are vaccines available. And I think that there are various ways that we can stretch that supply. I talked to epidemiologists, vaccinologists, who said we should approve the AstraZeneca vaccine. It has been shown to be quite effective, especially for younger people. We can use it now, and even though it can't be or maybe shouldn't be used for people older than 45, 50, well, that just means that there's more of the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna that we could use for that older population. Another thing that we could do is run experiments with the supply that we have. There is one idea called First Doses First, which is an idea that essentially says we should stretch our supply by giving as many people as possible first shots of the vaccine rather than giving first and second shots with the current amount of doses that we have right now. Still, other people think that we should be running NIH tests where we experiment with partial dosing, so giving people, say, two-thirds of a dose of vaccine, mm-hmm. because that has been shown actually to have really solid immunity, or really solid protectiveness. So I think that, you know, the people that I talked to essentially said, any way that we can accelerate, and I've been using that word a lot, but it's so important, thousands of people are dying a day, any way that we can accelerate our use of vaccines will save thousands and thousands of lives. And so we should be open to having a scientific approach toward extending the supply of vaccines that we have.
Now, we should have a decision, hopefully, maybe by the end of the month on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
That's
AstraZeneca
right.
is another story. We've seen that the data show that it's not particularly effective against the South African variant, so that would be one thing to consider. Now, just quickly, Derek, you also looked at eligibility, which right now varies from state to state. You're saying this should be simplified, and quickly, please.
Oh, sure. I mean, Washington State right now is in phase 1B tier 1. That was after phase 1A tier 2 and phase 1A tier 1. These 1B, 1C guidelines, I think, are too fussy. They're too confusing. They're very difficult to operationalize. Simpler is better, and having a larger supply of vaccines allows us to open things up and be simpler as well.
Derek Thompson, thank you so much.